Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for just your presence here. We just want to glorify you and praise you during this time of presence. We look forward to your message to us. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and worship.
When all I see is the battle, you see my view.
All right, we come to this time every week that we talk about My Three. My Three is something that was started, that Ron mentioned, about 2 years ago, and we want to lift up those that we pray for on a daily basis. We have these little handouts, if you need one, right there. It says My Three, but if you look at the back of it, there's room to add more names as you go along. You can cross one out, add somebody else, or just do. I've got five names on mine right now. So as they come to know the Lord, let's lift up everybody up. So we don't want to just limit it to three, but you can do many more. So let's pray for those. We've had many people that come to the Lord just by praying for him, which God tells us pray without ceasing, right? So let's go to the Lord for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to lift up these names that are on these little pieces of paper. And we ask that you just open their hearts, soften their souls so that they come to know you as well, like we know you. We just ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. And 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
My chains are gone,
my chains are gone.
Father, you are so good, so worthy of our praise. Father, we just say thank you that you are there on the cross, that you saved us, and that you've risen again, that you are alive and well, working right here in Carroll County and beyond. So, Father, we just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'm going to invite Ashley to come up.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
My name is Ashley Bunn, for any of you that do not know me, and I lead an adult Sunday school class every week. The class was originally created for young adults. However, we've evolved over the years, and we all agree, you just need a youthful spirit to attend this class. We cover a variety of topics, and we usually have a lot of laughs, the occasional tears, but always a great time. In the past, we've covered topics such as how to love everybody always in a world full of setbacks and difficult people, how it's nice to be liked, but God has called us to be so much more, how we can win the enemy or win the battle of our mind and not give the enemy a seat at our table, and how life gets a lot more fun when we love people like God does. Beginning in August, we will be tackling the topic of clean living in a contaminated world. So if this topic interests you or you think you'd like to give the class a try, please stop by. We meet downstairs every Sunday at 9 a.m. If you have any questions or want to know a little bit more specifically what class looks like, just stop and see me after church. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ashley, for sharing. Well, greetings. Welcome to the Mount Carroll Church of God, whether you're here in person, listening on the radio, or watching online. Thank you for choosing to corporately worship with us today. My name's Jeff Frederick. I'm one of the elders, and I'll be covering the pulpit today. Pastor Tim and Melissa have been out on their honeymoon, but rest assured, Pastor Tim will be back next Sunday. Now, I am just a lay person. I am not a trained theologian by any means, but I do know that every good sermon has a good joke or story in it. And it just so happens that Friday I was listening to Moody Radio, and so I apologize if anybody heard this story, Friday I was listening to Moody Radio, and I heard the story that I think is fitting for the sermon today. And that is, there was a man, I believe this took place in the Great Depression. Now, there's a man who lost his job, and he went to his local zoo, of all places. He heard they were hiring a janitor, so he went there, met with the business manager, but unfortunately, they had filled the janitor's spot. So the zoo manager looked up the unemployed man, looked him up and down, and saw that he had a good physique, and he knew that he would be a perfect fit for this temporary job. So he asked him, he said, unfortunately, our zoo lost our beloved gorilla a couple weeks prior. So we have this gorilla costume, and we're wondering if it looks like you'd be the perfect fit for it. So would you be willing to try it? So the man, I mean, who wants to play the part of a gorilla? He didn't want to do it, but he had a family to feed, and he thought he'd give it a try, especially after you heard what he'd be making. So he showed up the next day, put on the costume, and it fit. And so he went out, but he was very timid, very shy, didn't make a whole lot of gestures, but he noticed that all the visitors loved him. So the second day he showed up, and he was a little more emboldened. He, I think, pounded on his chest, and he made some gorilla sounds. I don't know what gorilla sounds are, and no, I'm not going to attempt it, but he made a few gestures, and the zoo visitors just loved it. So the third day he came back, and he was really emboldened. And so there was these vines, and he started swinging from vine to vine. You know, like I said, he was very well fit. And before he knew it, he swung right out of the gorilla pit and landed into the lion's area. Yeah. So there was a lion coming at him, and he wanted the natural response would be to cry out for help, right? But he didn't want to lose his job. He knew he'd get fired if he cried out for help. So he remained quiet, but then the lion got closer. So then the man did a weak cry, help! And then you heard the lion say, shut up, man, you're going to get us both fired. So I think Moody Radio's commentator was making the connection that we should be real and not be the fake person. So we'll see how that fits in with our lesson today. I don't know about you, but I've always wondered why in the Bible it rarely mentions Jesus calling someone his friend. And for that matter, doing my what little research I've been able to come up on this, there's only one time in the Old Testament that God called someone his friend. In the Old Testament, it was, any guesses? It was Abraham. Now, let me correct this. I actually heard one Bible commentator say it was five different people. Enoch and Moses were one of them. But when I did my Google search, and I even did the biblical Google search, which I think is called Logos. Yes. It only came up with one specific time that it's used the word friend. Now, yes, God and, for that matter, Jesus use enduring terms. Like, for instance, David was a man after God's own heart. But the actual word friend only came up for Moses, and it only came up for one person in the New Testament, which I'll reveal here in a second. But think about, who do you think that one person is? But I want you to know that we are talking about who calls, or who Jesus called his friend, not if we call Jesus his friend. And let me speak clearly. It's a good thing to call our Lord and Savior a friend, but today we're specifically talking about who Jesus calls his friend. And again, there's only one specific person that I found. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into his word. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work through your humble servants here tonight, or today. I pray that you bless this church. I pray, Lord, that you be with the sick and those that are in nursing homes and homebound. Lord, I pray that you just use us as your hands and feet to minister to those. Lord, I also pray for that you comfort those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. I pray specifically for the Edna Kale family. Lord, I thank you for the life that she lived. I pray that you help us to celebrate that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Define the word friend. Webster defines it as a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. So let's look at John chapter 11, verse 11. We see who Jesus reveals as a specific friend. He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up." So did we all get it? Everybody remember that it was Lazarus? That was his specific person that he called friend. So we don't know much about Lazarus. We know that he had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and we know that they were involved in his ministry, but it really doesn't tell us a whole lot about his friendship with Lazarus. We do know that after Jesus raised him from the dead, we read in John chapter 12, verse 9 and 11, it tells us that by Jesus raising him from the dead, many came to believe in Jesus, so much so that the chief priests decided to kill him. And when I say kill him, I mean kill Lazarus. Lazarus was also a witness and encouragement for his disciples. And the fact that Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days, and I never picked this up before I looked at this. 4 days. How many days was Jesus in the tomb? Well, we all know that. Three. So if Jesus here on earth can raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, then how easy is it for God to raise Jesus after 3 days? It's human nature for us all to doubt, but I believe Jesus gave this example to his disciples and to us to help us in our doubt. And also, it appears that this happened right before Jesus' persecution and resurrection, so it would have been fresh in his disciples' minds. So let's move on to our second Bible reading. We read, we've all just finished reading the book of John, so this should, if you've been doing the daily Bible reading. So we read in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. "This is my command, love one another as I've loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. The disciples are who Jesus is directly talking with, but this applies to all of us as well. I vaguely remember this story, but I like to call this my convenient forgetfulness, or maybe a Freudian slip. I know I've read John at least a half a dozen times, if not probably a dozen times, but I don't remember these verses. I don't remember Jesus giving me the opportunity to be his friend. And it's probably for a good reason, because it's not easy. It's not easy to love others as yourself. I relate this to, you know, the famous war scene where you dive on a hand grenade to save your buddy's lives, but let's be real here. We're not going to have that opportunity. Not many people in their life have that opportunity. But what opportunity do we have? We have the opportunity to serve one another by giving up our time and talent. And that's how we show our love for each other and for God. Not to mention verse 14, how easy is it to obey God's commands? Not easy. So that's why I like to call it my convenient forgetfulness. There's a man named Joseph Matera who wrote the 7 things that show us how and why Jesus chose his friends. But besides looking at who Jesus calls his friends, we should look at why and maybe apply this in our lives. So going to Matera's 7 points, I'll start off with point number 1. He prayed about it. In Luke 6, 12 and 13, it shows us that Jesus went off in prayer by himself, and then after that, he then appointed his 12 apostles. So he prayed about it. My wife is very good at doing this. When myself or friends, yes, Steve, I'm talking about you, when we like to either just bring up an issue we have or maybe even complain about something, that's me, my wife says, well, did you pray about it? And usually the answer is no, I hate to say, but Jesus prayed about it before picking his apostles. Point number 2, his friends lived lives of obedience to God, and that goes back to John chapter 15, 14, the hard but not impossible task. Point number 3, Jesus chose his friends to be with him in order to send them out. And you find that in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. So Jesus had a plan for his friends and a task that he sent them on. Point number 3, Jesus chose his friends to be with him in order... Oh, I'm sorry. Point number 4, Jesus chose his friends he could share his heart with. And that goes back to John 15. What God gave Jesus, Jesus gave to his disciples. I think they teach this in couples classes, you know. Good communication is, you know, good for the marriage. Well, it is with your friends as well. And Jesus demonstrated that. Point number 5, Jesus proactively chose his friends. In John 15, 16, it talks about Jesus went out and picked them. He didn't allow people to come to him. Well, he did allow it, but specifically talking about his apostles, he chose them. And then even within the apostles, he had the inner circle, Peter, John, and James, which you read in the Bible, like, for instance, when Jesus knew he was going to be crucified, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. He took that inner circle, those ones closest to him, to pray with him. And of course, they did fall asleep, but details. point number 6. Jesus' friends received his hard sayings. Well, let me say that again. Jesus received his hard sayings. So in John 6, 66 through 68, it talks about Jesus had many disciples flee or leave him after things got tough. So this is talking about like the 70 or greater disciples that he had. And I'm sure, can we not all relate to having a fake gorilla or lion in a relationship? We've all had friends that we thought would stand by us, but then they left us. And the last point is Jesus' friends were those who stood by him during his trials. So it's the opposite. So we read in Luke 7. Luke 22, verses 28 and 29. You are those who stood by me in trials. I bestow on you the kingdom, just as the Father bestowed one on me. So he's talking to his apostles here after the Last Supper, but before he's arrested. And yes, the disciples did flee that night, but then later they came back to him and they served him, to the point that the majority of them were crucified according to church history. So ultimately, they did stand by him. Now, I want to reassure you that Jesus wants a real relationship with you and is calling you. God could not have made it any easier. And I believe the last scripture that we have in James 4:8a, a beautiful scripture, it reads, "Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." How simple is that? Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. At one point, you guys know that I grew up in the church. Most of you know this, but if you don't, I did grow up in this church. And I then, when I was young, 18 years old, went off for active duty Army. And I don't know what you want to call it, if I was a prodigal son, if I was a backslidden, which really isn't a term in the Bible, but whatever you want to call it, I went on my own path. And I quickly realized from my actions that following after the world was not worth leaving my relationship with Jesus. So what did I do? Well, I did exactly what James 4:8a says. I drew close to God by daily reading my Bible, by prayer and meditation, by fellowship with fellow believers. And I drew close to God, and God definitely drew close to me. We should all strive for the strongest possible relationship we can have with Jesus. Not many people go out and say, you know, I want a lukewarm relationship with someone they truly love. No, you go out and you strive for the best that you can have. So do this with your Savior as well. Remember, love one another and do what he commands. It's that simple. So I'm going to go ahead and do my closing prayer here as the group comes up. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just pray that you help us in building an open and honest relationship with you. Help us to love one another as you have loved us, and help us to obey what you have commanded, not out of fear, but out of love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased.
As you go off this week, remember that, like it says in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and yes, Kerwin, I did my homework, we will be blessed by following God. So just remember, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Peace as you go out. God bless you.
Check, check. I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone, up and at home, bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. Don't do it for the glory, just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can call in sick on Monday when the weekend's been too strong. Just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Yeah, I'm solid, I'm steady, yeah, I'm true down to the core. I'm
Touch the fire, the battle.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.